easy to see when you come into a service like this that God is still moving amongst us. He's not dead like some people say. He's not a lifeless statue that some people worship and go and kiss their feet. Amen. But we live a God that He is alive and well. Amen. He is able to do everything that we need, above everything that we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This last Thursday night, we had the Children's Crusade in Tampa. I have to tell you, there was over 29 children that received the gift of the Holy Ghost. 29 children. Don't tell me God's dead. He's already showed up. He's already showed out. Amen. I know He is a living God. Amen. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. God can still move in your circumstances. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? Did you come expecting something from God today? I'm expecting. I can tell you what I have to deliver today is not something easy. It is not something that I wanted to do. I've been fighting with it, but I know God is in this place. And I know God has something He wants to do in us. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you would, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." He's basically saying, get your house in order. Get your life where it's supposed to be. Get your mind where it's supposed to be. If you got unresolved things, get them resolved. If you're not right with God, you need to get right now. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Amen. Everybody say, confessing their sins. I want to talk to you a little bit today. It's something that I've been wrestling with for the last month. It's one of those sermons that a preacher doesn't like to preach because it's not one that everybody likes to hear. But I want to talk to you today about, is the price tag more than you can afford? Is the price tag more than you can afford? I just want you, if you will, set your Bibles down for a minute. I want you to pray that God would just again come into this place. I want God to move mightily in this house. I believe someone's life can be changed today. I don't know who He's speaking to today. I don't know who He's reaching for today. But I want you to know that God is here for you. Whatever it is that you need, He's here for you today. God, I just pray right now, Lord, that You would anoint my lips of clay. Lord, anoint my voice, God. Help me to say what You have given me on my lips. God, help me, Lord, to speak what You would have me to say, God. But God, more than anything, I pray that You would break every barrier in this house. God, break down every wall of hindrance. Break every chain, Lord, of bondage right now in the name of Jesus. God, we want to hear Your word. God, we want a fresh touch from You today. God, we want a renewing of Your spirit today, Jesus. We can't make it without You. God, we're nothing without You. We're just dirt and clay. God, touch us one more time in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would, clap your hands to the Lord. God, we worship You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. We magnify You. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated this morning. Amen. This man, John the Baptist, he was the one preaching in the wilderness, out in the desert land, out in the place where people didn't like to go. He was out in the countryside, maybe in the boondocks. Amen. He was saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Get your life in order. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. He preached to everyone that was there that would hear. There was those that didn't want to listen, but if they were interested, if they wanted to know more about the Messiah, they listened to this man crying in the wilderness. And he preached about sin. He preached about things that they needed to change. He said, sin is sin. It's black and white. It doesn't matter. There is no gray area. You need to get your life in order and correct your life. He compelled the people to get ready for Jesus. He didn't look the greatest when you really read the way he was dressed, wearing camel skin and hair and eating wild locusts. I mean, I imagine he probably didn't smell the best either. He wasn't a man that you really wanted to be having at your dinner table, probably. But something about his voice, something about his message, his words, it shook the people to the point that they came to him and they said, what do I need to do? Amen. His words were so important. Of everyone that heard this man, there was one particular man that the Bible brings out that was very interested in what he said. It says that he heard him gladly. And this man, he liked to hear John preach. He liked to hear what he had to say and how he said it. And he even followed John's teaching to a certain degree. This man, the Bible says, was King Herod. The man that you really wouldn't think that would be following John. He didn't really seem like the person that would be going out to the wilderness, to the desert, to hear some wild man screaming with everything he had. But King Herod, he was intrigued by this man. And the Bible, from what we read, says that he was pretty much almost persuaded. Mark chapter 6, verse 20 says, for Herod feared John. That's respected. He gave a respect to him, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard them gladly. Amen. He didn't just go and listen to this man, but the Bible says that he heard him gladly. That means he received the words of John. He knew what he was saying and he believed it. He was fascinated by it. And so this man, King Herod, he had a relationship with this man, John. He cared about him. It was the man of God in his life. It was his preacher, you could say, his pastor to a certain degree. But there was one problem with Herod. Of everything that he did, of the things that he did obey, of the things that he gladly received, he was still living in sin in his life. Amen? Herod had married his brother's wife. Big no-no. You don't do that. He was still alive. They were still married. And he took his wife. John, being the preacher that he was, preaching against sin, he made it very clear, you're living in sin. This is not right. You are not supposed to do this. You shouldn't have married your brother's wife. You're living in sin and you need to correct it. And in these teachings, it was made them furious. And you got to look at the scripture to really understand how bad it was. Amen. But John preached against their marriage and that it was not acceptable in the eyes of God. And Herod's wife, every time that she heard the words, it just infuriated her. It just irked her. She's like, I don't like this man. I don't like his message. She wasn't like her husband. She didn't gladly receive the words of John because she didn't believe like they did. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't the type of person to go and follow their teachings. And so she did not like John. She did not like what he had to say. She did not like what he stood for in his life. Amen. There's people like that in this world. They don't like that. We all seen street corner preachers sometimes. We go through and they got a little loudspeaker and they're preaching on the corner. Some people will roll down the window to hear what they say, and others just keep their window up and keep on driving. I ain't got time for that today. Amen. Some of us even come to church some Sundays, and even though we come to church, we still got our windows up and say, Pastor, I really ain't got time for to hear that today. And we leave the same way we came. Amen. Just taught them practical today. Just being practical with what I'm saying. Amen. But she woke up every morning probably with the voice of John ringing in her ears. You're living in sin. You're not right. You have to get right with God. She sat at the breakfast table just thinking in her mind, John doesn't like us. He's got power among the people, and he's going to turn the people against us. Honey, you got to do something about this man, John, before he does something wrong in our life. And it didn't help that her husband liked John. I mean, in the marriage, you're supposed to be unified. You and your wife are supposed to be on one page. But if you're best friends with somebody that your wife can't stand, or vice versa, your wife and they got a friend that you just can't stand to be around, they go against everything you stand for, it's going to cause division in your marriage. So imagine that here. Their marriage has got a big wedge between them, and his name was John. He was the wedge between their marriage, and it was causing problems. And she demanded that Herod kill John. She says, if you're not going to shut him up, if you're not going to make him change his message, then you need to kill him. You need to get rid of him because I can't take it no more. The message is too hard for me. What he's saying is just too hard for my ears, and I don't want to change. I don't want to get things right in my life, and just that message is too harsh. Amen. That's why I don't like preaching this message, because too many times a preacher will stand at this pulpit and he'll preach against sin, and the people don't want to hear it because it's too hard of a message. They get too soft. They get too callous. But I'm here to tell you today that sin is still sin, and God hasn't changed. Amen. If you're living in sin today, I prepared a way for the Lord. If you're living a life of sin today, you got to get your life right today. Don't leave this house because it may be your last chance. Amen. Hallelujah. When she went to bed, it filled her thoughts. When she woke up in the morning, it filled her thoughts. She didn't know what was going to happen, but all she knew was that John had to die. Something had to be done in their circumstance. She didn't want to deal with him any longer. In the words, John, he had to go. But see, the problem was Herod still liked John. Herod still believed the words of John. He still understood that he was a man of God and that there was something about his teachings that made sense. And he says, honey, I can't do that. I love you, but, you know, I really care for you, but you're asking me to do something that I can't do because I love this man of God. He's my pastor. I got to do something else. I can't do that. And so in his mind, he's thinking, what can I do? I got to do something with this man of God because he's talking against my marriage. He's talking against my life, and he's condemning us to hell, and I don't really know what to do. I can't kill him because I love him, and he decides, well, maybe if I can just get him out of the way. And so he throws him into a jail. He decides to put him in a place where no one could hear him. They put him into a place where no one could see him, where no one could hear the message, and he couldn't get it to the world, amen. And many times we're like that. We come to church, and we got our blinders on, and we come, and we worship, and we praise. But when it comes to the Word of God, we just put that over, and we just want to put it somewhere in the back. I don't want to hear that right now. It hurts a little bit too bad. I really don't want to hear that word today. It stings a little bit still. It's still too fresh. We just hide it somewhere. Put it back where we can't hear it anymore. And we get callous to it. And after a while, you can't even hear the voice of God. After a while, you can't even see the words of God in your mind because you put them back in some prison cell in your mind and it's gone. And no longer do you hear that conviction speaking to you in your heart. Hallelujah. With the preacher locked away where no one could hear him, where no one could see him, Herod thought the solution had finally come. Finally, maybe my marriage will be what it needs to be. Finally, my life will get back to what it's supposed to be. I'll be able to live the life and be successful like I was supposed to be. Maybe my career will take off now because I don't have to worry about this distraction. Maybe my family will be what it's supposed to be because the distraction has now moved out of the way for me. Life went on, and Herod and his wife, they kept things as were. They kept living in sin, and they kept doing their thing. And then on Herod's birthday, the Bible says he threw a party. And this is where things really change in his life. Amen. He had a birthday party that was like a king's birthday party. He had all the important people there, all the dignitaries, all the politicians, all the famous actors, all the famous singers. It was a red carpet event. This party was the party of parties. Amen. They had all the special camels there parked and lined up in front of the castle. It was the party. It was the place to be. It was a grand party fit for a king, and it was something that everyone wanted to attend. But something happened at that party that changed everything. Amen. Herod, he was the center of attention at first. It was his party. He was the one that everybody was looking at because it was his party. Everything evolved around him. The music was his music, what he wanted to play. The food was his food because it was what he wanted to eat. Amen. They even probably wore what he wanted them to wear because it was his party. And so all is going on and he's just feeling good. It's just, yeah, this is life. This is my party. I'm feeling good right now. And all the distractions are gone. He's forgotten forgot about all them things that were nagging him in the past, and he's just feeling good. He's on Easy Street right now. But something happened. The music began to play slowly and softly, and the lights began to come down a little bit and set the mood. And out of the back door of the room, this beautiful young woman entered the room. Everyone in the room at the same time just moved and looked at this woman. They were entranced by her. The mood was set, the music, the lighting. It was just the right time, the right moment. And slowly and seductively, this woman began to dance her way through the room. She danced a seductive dance that kept every man's attention. It just made them lust for her. It made them want her. And slowly she moved her way to the king and to the throne of where he sat. And before the king, she danced her dance, and she did what she had to do. And finally, when the music ended and all was said and done, she looked up at the king, and the king realized it was his stepdaughter. It was the daughter of his wife from her previous marriage. And just entranced by this dance and what this young woman had done to him, he looked at her and said, "Baby, tell me whatever it is that you want and I'll give it to you. I'll give you anything you want up to half of my kingdom. Just tell me what you want." What moved he must have been. Everything just changed in that room, and she controlled that room. Amen. It was sin. Sin had entered that room, and sin had control of everything that was there. Everything that was looking at her. Everything that was listening to her. And sin was going to be getting whatever she wanted. Amen. Herod told her, "Tell me what you want, baby, and I'll give it to you, anything you want." And so joyfully she leaves this room and she goes to her mother. She runs to her mother, that is the mother of the previous marriage, and says, "Mom, you're never going to believe this. You're not going to believe what happened. I did like you said. I went up there and I did my dance. I danced before the king. I danced before my stepfather and all of his friends. And they liked it so much that he told me he would give me anything I wanted, even up to half of his kingdom." She was proud of what she did. She was proud of what she had accomplished. I can have anything I want. She could have had the latest camel. She could have had her own house built. She could have had a boat built. She could have had anything she wanted up to half of the kingdom. And she didn't know what to do. So she looked at her mom and said, "Mama, what should I do? What should I ask for? What do you think I should ask of him? Just what do you think I need?" And the mother, still in pain, still feeling the sting of the things of the past, knowing that she's living in sin, knowing that she has to do something because that man, that prophet, is still alive somewhere. Even though she can't hear his voice, even though she can't see him every day, he's still alive somewhere. Something has to happen. That connection still has to be broken. And so she looks at her daughter and says, "Baby, do you love your mama? Do you really love me?" "Yes, Mama, you know I love you. I'll do anything for you." "Then, baby, I need you to do this for me." "Yes, Mama, anything you want. What is it?" Just ask and I will do it for you, Mommy. Just whatever you want." Says, "Baby, I want you to go back to the king. I want you to go to him and says, you promised that you would give me anything. And I want you to tell him that you want the head of John. The head of that prophet." "Mama, are you sure? I mean, he's offering me half of his kingdom and you just want me to have a man killed?" "Yes, honey, that's how important it is to me. That's how bad he has offended me. That's how bad it hurts me. If you love your mama, you're going to go and you're going to do this for me because I need this relief. I need this to happen. I need this man to be gone out of my life." "Okay, Mama, I'll do it. I'll go and I'll ask the king." Being obedient, this woman, she went back to the king. She stood before him and all of his friends, all of them entranced, looking at her. "Honey, what it is that you want? Have you thought about it?" "Yes, King. I've thought about what you said. I've thought about everything that you've offered, and there's only one thing that I want." "Sure, baby, just name it. It's yours. Whatever you want, honey. I want the head of John the Baptist. That's what I want." I can imagine King Herod in his throne just slumping down. Just all the blood draining out of his face and just going numb in his body, just not believing what he just heard. "What do you mean you want the head of John the Baptist? That's what I want. But anything besides that, surely, I mean, I'm offering you anything you want, not that." "No, that's what I want, Daddy. I want the head of John the Baptist. That's what I want. I want his head." It was the last thing he wanted to hear. The thing that he didn't want to do, the thing that he couldn't bring himself to do previously, because he loved him. He respected the man of God. He loved his pastor, but he didn't like what he preached. He loved his pastor, but he didn't want to accept what he had to say. He loved his pastor, but he didn't want to give everything he had to what he said. Baby, I don't know what to do. I can't do this. Daddy, you promised me that you would give me whatever I wanted. Everybody's here. They heard you. What are you going to do? You made a promise. You gave your word. You're the king. Yes, honey, you're right. I made a promise to you, and I have to keep it. Herod didn't have a choice at that point. He had to keep his word. He knew he had made the wrong decision. He knew that the dance, that the sin, that the lust had now cost him something that he didn't want to give up. It was more than he wanted. When the bill for his transgressions was presented, it was more than what he could pay. It was more than he could afford and what he accounted for. Herod never thought that he would have to kill a friend and someone that he respected. He thought, as long as I could keep John hidden, everything would be all right. As long as I can keep the words of my pastor in the background, everything will be all right. I can listen to him on Sunday. I can listen to him on Wednesday. But when I leave, as long as I can keep what he says over here, I can still live my life. I can make it another day, another time. Just not hearing those words echo, prepare you to way. Get your life right. Don't live in sin. Hallelujah. See, it all caught back up with him. The things that he was doing, the life that he lived, he thought he could get away with it. But it all caught back up with him. You can't outrun sin. You can't outrun the things that you sow, that you plant, that you reap. It's a process that's going to happen in your life, and it's going to take place. It's ordained by God that that process takes place. You see, we all have things in our life that we're not proud of. We have things that we've done, things that we've said, and choices that we've made in our lives that we're not proud of. Some are things everyone can see in the open. They've seen our mistakes. They've seen our problems, our circumstances, and others are things that we keep hidden that nobody can see. We have our own battles that we fight inside and that we rage against that no one knows about, but we hide it and we come here and put on a poker face and smile and say, it's going to be okay and I'm doing fine. We're broken inside and we're dying because we don't know what the answer is and we don't know where to turn, but Jesus is always here waiting. Hallelujah. We hide them so well that no one can see. And we think we hide them so well that at times God can't even see it. We just pretend God can't even see it. I got it hidden that well. It's just you talk yourself into it. You make yourself believe it, that you're okay. Somewhere along the road of life, you've crossed over that line a little too far. You let something in your life that you never planned on entertaining. At the time, it was just something little. It was something that you could carry, a burden that wasn't that bad. It didn't feel that bad. But after a while, that burden got heavier and heavier. After a while, that load and that backpack got heavier and heavier. And that little thing that you were entertaining back then and over there, now is something that's weighing you down to the point where you can't even get out of bed in the morning. You're depressed. You're living in shame. You're living in fear because you don't know what you're going to do. How did I get here? How did I get to this place, to this point in my life? Why am I so blind to what has happened? It's a question we ask ourselves. We ask ourselves a lot. How did I get here? See, it didn't start that way. It started off fine. Everything was good and fine with Herod when it all started. Life was good. Life was easy. But when the man of God started proclaiming the word, when he started speaking the words of life and talking about the coming of Jesus and talking about your life and that there is a heaven and there is a hell and that you have to get your life ready, everything started to unravel. Those things, those plans that seemed perfect, those plans that were just set in stone that this is going to be our life, we're going to live, we're going to retire, everything is going to be good in my life, I'm going to feel good. Just started to unravel little by little bit because that's what sin does. You started off good. You started the race fine. You had a good pace in the race. You were working towards that finish line, but at some point, You entertained something that wasn't supposed to be there, and it just started to unravel you. It started to weigh you down. It started to take you out. Before you know it, you're in a place you never dreamed you would be. You never dreamed you would be in these circumstances. See, at first, some choices don't seem that bad. I've made choices where I've looked at, you know what, that doesn't seem bad. Feels pretty good. You make it. And it might be an instant thing that you're like, oh man, I regret that. It may be a later thing, a week later. It may be a year later, 10 years later, you look back, man, I really regret making that choice. It wasn't the right choice. It just wasn't the right time. There's no real consequences to some things. That's what we tell ourselves. I can do this and don't have to worry about it. But the truth is that consequences are very real. And we face consequences in every decision we make, whether it be good or bad. You're going to face those consequences. And little by little, we wade deeper and deeper into sin and into our lives. And we just get deeper and deeper to the point where we can no longer stand. We can no longer wade. Now we have to swim because it's above our neck. Now we have to go in our circumstance and we're struggling to survive because we've got in too deep. But there are consequences to our sin. See, sometimes something little can turn into something big. Maybe you made a business decision in your life. At the time, it seemed good. At the time, it seemed right. But did you truly talk to God about it? Did you seek the face of God and say, God, is this the decision that I can make? Is this a decision that I would be blessed in doing? You lied about something, maybe. You weren't truthful or honest in everything. Maybe you stole something. But when it all comes to light, there's consequences. When it all comes to light, there's something that happens. Those consequences could cost you something like your career. Talking about consequences of sin. Consequences in your life. It could cost you. It's a real thing. Maybe you didn't treat your loved ones like Christ teaches to love your loved ones. You didn't give them the affection they needed. You didn't give them the time they needed. Treat them like Christ would treat the church. Choices. Maybe you were abusive in your marriage. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's just mental abuse. But you weren't the husband that you needed to be. You weren't the wife that you needed to be. Choices. Sometimes we can't come back from some of our choices. The consequences are permanent. Sometimes they can be fixed. But what if your choices cost you your family? Your choices. Your consequences. So not everything you do is going to send you to hell, but it could cost you some earthly things. It could cost you some things in your life that you don't want to lose. Your careers. Your jobs. You lose your job and you lose your income, you lose your house, you lose your car. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your mind. And if you don't handle it correctly, you're going to tear your marriage apart and you're going to let it destroy your family. I'm not talking about just your wife, but I'm talking about your children too. Because they're watching you. They're watching your every move, what you do. That mistake you made that no one knows about, the part of your life that you don't want anyone to see. We've all been there. Don't have to raise your hand. Just, you know, in your mind, we've all been there. It hurts too bad to talk about it. It's too embarrassing. I've had things happen in my life that I don't want no one to know about. It's between me and God. Because I know that if other people knew about it, it would be embarrassing. It would hurt me. So we keep them hidden. But it might cause you to lose your reputation. I have a good reputation. That's what we think about ourselves. I have a good reputation on my job, my career. I have a good reputation with my family. They respect me. They love me. I have a good reputation with the church. I'm just not talking about me personally. I'm just talking about in general us. In our life, we have a reputation. And the choices we make, some of them we don't want the church to know. We don't want the people to know. Because it affects everything. Our choices, down the career, down our family. And finally, we no longer have the respect that we used to have. People no longer look to you like they used to look to you. You know what, I really don't want to go out to eat with him this Sunday. Just, yeah, it was. We know what he did. We know what people saying about him. Just, you know, we'll go with somebody else this Sunday. His reputation's a little bit tarnished. Slowly and quietly, it eats away at you, and always in the back of your mind, it's there when you wake up in the morning. It's there when you get up in the afternoon and eat dinner, and it's there while you're with your family, just constantly there with you. And it's eating away at your mind. It's turning and searing into your brain. And the sin, the burden of sin of everything you've done, it's just eating away at you, and it's still in your joy. It's still in your joy. So we sing that song right before I came up to preach. I'm talking about joy. This is how we overcome. If you don't have joy in your life, you're not going to make it. Because this world is becoming more and more evil. The things that happen, sometimes things happen that affect your career that wasn't your doing. It wasn't your choice. It was someone else's choice, someone else's wrongdoing, but you're suffering the consequences of it. Remember Job? He didn't do anything to deserve what he lost, but he's suffering. Someone else's choices. Now it's affecting the family because someone else did something and they've hurt your family. It wasn't something you did, but now you're struggling to keep things together because something else happened and it affected your family. And now because all that's happened, people have seen that, hey, he's lost his job, he's lost everything, his family's in turmoil. Surely something's wrong with him. Surely he's living in sin. Surely it's his fault. He's got a problem, so his reputation is now gone. What's this man really have left? Who is he? He has no friends now. His family doesn't want to talk to him, doesn't like him. So what happens? He's now lost his joy. He can't come into church with his joy anymore. It's hard to raise his hands because it feels like they weigh 50 pounds. It's hard to clap his hands because the motion isn't there because he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't feel joy, it's just sadness. He doesn't feel like singing and shouting, all he feels like doing is crying. Am I talking to anybody today? He's lost his joy. He's lost his joy. You can't lose your joy. It's that important. The reality of your choices are this. It may be tomorrow. It may be years down the road that it may affect you. But eventually your sins of this world and your choices are going to catch up. And they're going to come and they're going to collect what's owed on your life. Eventually it may cost you dearly in this world. The things of all this you may lose because of your choices and the things that happened from one little sin that you allowed to burden you down and to drag you down. But of all these things, more than these, the price that it could cost you, more than your career, more than your family, your reputation, more than your joy, it could cost you your salvation. It's not that big a deal today. That's the way we feel. That's not that big of a deal right now. I can live with it. I can live with this sin right now. It's not too big. I understand this choice is probably not the best choice, and I really don't want other people to know, but I think I can make it through it. I can get back on top. I think I can do it better tomorrow, maybe. But it could cost you more than all this. It could cost you your salvation. It could cost you your soul. The price of sin. The price of your choices, big or small. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So we all know that we really deserve sin and death. That is our life. The choice that we made, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to be saved. We're not worthy. We're not holy. But Jesus, I just came today more than anything just to tell you that Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been living in it. Jesus is still here. He's here for you. We may not want to admit to it. And that's not how we work. You don't come up here and confess your sins to us. You don't stand in front of a minister and tell us everything you've done wrong, because that's not the way it works. You confess them to God. You tell it to the master. You tell Jesus what you've done. He's the one that you ask for forgiveness. So I ask you this morning, if the bill of life has been handed to you today, you've come into this place, you've been convicted, and you know that you got to change your life. You know that there's something in your house that you've got to get rid of. You know you got to do some house cleaning today, and the price tag is more than you can afford. The bill is more than what you want to pay. I'm telling you, Jesus is ready. Stand with me this morning. See, in the Bible days, if you could not pay your debt, if you could not pay the debt that was owed in your life, they would take you and they would put you on a block in front of the village, and they would auction you off to the highest bidder. You would be auctioned off as a slave for your debt, for the things that you had done, for the things that you could not pay, for the price that you could not handle yourself. You were sold into slavery. And I imagine today in the spirit of what I've been feeling this today and this last month working on this, that there's an auction block in the spirit that is set at this altar today. And the devil, he wants to take you and he wants to put you on top of that auction block. He wants to tell you that this is your bill. This is what is owed right now and you can't pay it. And so I'm telling you, I'm going to sell you to the world. I'm going to give you to the world, to the highest bidder, because you can't pay it yourself. And you don't know what you're going to do because you know you can't pay it. You know you can't afford the price tag of what you've done and what you've been living. And out of the crowd, out of the people comes a man. And it's Jesus, and he says, don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it, daughter. I've got it. I'll pay the price for you. I'll pay the ransom that you owe. I'll cover the debt that is placed upon your head. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm talking to today. This may be your last time in a Pentecostal service. This may be your last time to ever walk through church doors today. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave this place. But I'm telling you that Jesus is here. Sin has came to collect what is owed on your life, but Jesus has already paid it. He's already been on the cross. His blood has been shed. It wasn't silver and gold that paid for your sin. It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He loved you that much. He loved you that much. He loved you that much. Out of everybody, not just everybody else, but you. He loved you that much. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the tough, thoughtless crowd, much like an old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he is going almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never understand the worth of a soul and change that is wrought in the touch of a master's hand. Hallelujah. Close your eyes and raise your hands this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time we do some house cleaning today. God, whatever's in my heart that is not right. God, whatever's in my mind that is not right, God, I ask you to remove it right now. God, I repent of my sins. God, I am sorry for everything that I've done. Every decision I've made that wasn't right. Everything I've said, everything I've done, everything I've looked at, everything I've heard. God, I just pray right now, cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart. God, I'm sorry, forgive me right now. Come on, let's just have a little bit of repentance right now. All over the house, wherever you are. Hallelujah, God, Lord. Let your grace and mercy flow through me right now, Jesus. God, have mercy on my heart. Have mercy on my mind right now, God. I know I deserve death. I know I deserve to die in my sins, God, but I'm here right now. God, I'm here right now asking you to change me. God, I'm here right now saying, God, touch me and move me. God, I can't make it another day without you. I can't make it another step without your strength, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I ask you, come to this altar, come on. Come down to this altar. Don't leave this place without making your paths right. Don't leave this house without getting your life ready for God. Now's the time of salvation. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave this place. You may never have another chance. You may never have another opportunity. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, right now I pray, Lord, that you would touch us. God, every heart right now, Lord. God, there are those right now, Jesus, they don't know what to do. God, they don't know the decision to make right now. I pray, God, let your peace and your love surround them. God, let your loving arms right now wrap around them right now. God, let them feel your comfort and your peace right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I bind the chains of sin right now. I break that yoke of bondage right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, let freedom be in this house. Let freedom be in your mind right now. I break addiction right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's up to you right now. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to move from God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, prayer warriors. Come on, prayer warriors. Get up here and pray with somebody. Get up here and pray for somebody. Snatch somebody off of the auction block today. Come on, let's snatch somebody's soul off the auction block of sin today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, you can have the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. If you repented of your sins, if you told God you're sorry, you can go down in the water in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that when you go down in the name of Jesus, that your sins are washed away. Hallelujah. You can have your life clean today. You can be baptized today and have your sin removed today. Hallelujah. You can have the presence of God fill you. You can receive the Holy Ghost today. But you have to come. You have to come. You got to raise your hands and surrender and say, God, here I am. God, here I am today, God. Here I am today, God. God, I need you today, Jesus. I need you today. God, I need you today, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, right now.